around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford, and once again, we'd like to welcome you to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. I trust and I pray that your day has already been blessed and that the presence of God has touched your heart and touched your life in a very personal and special way. I do want to say thank you again for those of you who have fasted and prayed with us during this time of fasting. We know that God is going to move. We are confident that God will honor that which you have done. The Bible declares emphatically in Hebrews 6 and 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints, and ye do minister." It is a great joy to develop a relationship with Jesus. I want to say that again. It is a great and exceeding joy to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is forever faithful. He's always faithful. Hebrews 13:5, Paul said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." That right there in itself, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, for we shall not fear. We shall not fear what man may do to us." Praise God. Think of what Paul just said. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. We have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." As you develop your relationship in Jesus, that element of fear, relative toward fear of mankind, oppressing, vexing, whatever the case might be, Paul said, we will not fear what man shall do unto us. Why? Because we're growing closer to the Lord. We're getting closer to Christ. As we draw nigh to Christ, Christ certainly draws nigh to us. So, it is an exceeding joy to draw close to Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." That's whom we need to have a wholesome fear of, God. Again, thank you for your time of prayer and fasting with us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Many of you fasted with us, and for that, I am exceedingly grateful. We began the fast January the 14th. And we concluded this past Sunday, February the 4th. And I just pray, and I'm confident, that God is going to bless your effort. Your effort is not in vain. Before we get back into the message, part two, the need for reformation, I want to play a little upbeat song today, tempo. I pray this is everyone's testimony listening to this broadcast today. I do pray this is your testimony. Amen.
God's love. Silver and gold could never buy a mighty touch from above. When I say thank you, Lord, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I gotta make it to heaven somehow. Though the devil tempts me, tries to turn me around. He's offered everything that's got a name. All the wealth I want, world of fame. If I could still, I would.
I pray today that your heart's desire, that you truly would take nothing for your journey now, because you've come too far by faith. Therefore, you are constrained by the power of God's Word and by the power of the Holy Ghost to endure unto the end. Matthew 24:13, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Oh, praise God for the victory in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We began a message yesterday entitled, The Need for Reformation. I want to go back and pick up the scripture text. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers, and with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh, and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. that whosoever would not seek the Lord of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting, and with trumpets and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. That is so powerful. All of those verses, for the most part. America is in need of reformation. We hear the terminology, this person is from the left, this person is from the right, this person is moderate in the middle of the road. Without a doubt, the way into the kingdom of God is straight and very narrow. Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Jesus said, just a few will be saved. Jesus didn't say they would come in by the hordes and by the throngs, but he said they would come in by few. I often remind myself of the disciples in the 13th chapter of the book of Luke, beginning at verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say, and you will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. That's where we are today. Just like the disciples, I question, Lord, will there be many people saved? Will there be many people saved? Personally, I do not believe there will be a lot of people saved. Why would I make such a statement? I'll tell you why. Again, because of what Jesus Christ declared. Jesus said, Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Think of that statement. Just because someone says they're a child of God does not make them a child of God, any more than me putting myself in my garage and declaring emphatically, I'm an automobile, I'm a car, I'm a bicycle. No. No. But we live in a day, just because people profess something does not mean they possess it. I want to be a possessor and not a professor. So many people profess thus and thus, and many profess, I am a Christian. But Jesus again said, few there be that find it. This nation is in desperate need. America is in desperate need of a reformation of our values, of our convictions. So many people today in the church world, they don't have what we call Holy Ghost convictions. They live as they please. They watch things they know they should not watch. I don't see how anybody can sit and watch television or watch a movie and they're taking God's name in vain and using four-letter words, one that starts with an F, and your spirit is not grieved. Your spirit is not checked. something inside of you says you shouldn't be doing this, if the Holy Ghost is not reproving, rebuking, correcting, instructing you, my friend, you're lacking something in your life. You say, Pastor, you're a little hard today. You're a little fiery today. Well, every time I start fasting and seeking God, I get on fire for God. We got too many people who are not on fire for God. They're not seeking God. This is the theme in our scripture text. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Verse 4. But when they in their trouble did return to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. When you seek God, he will be found of you. You will find God. When you seek God, you will find God. I was at the Lowe's store the other day. I had to pick up something while I was fasting. I was walking to my car and I just said in my spirit, I said, God, bless me today with a piece of money. Just bless me today with a piece of money. Now, some may say, oh, Pastor, that's covetousness. No, I was just in my spirit communing with God. Right as I went to open the car door, I looked down, and there was a nickel. A nickel. 5 stands for grace. God blessed me with grace. He touched me with his hand. He touched me with his grace. David said in Psalms 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are opened under their cries. Every time you talk, every time you cry out to God, God hears you, friend. You need to start seeking God like a 6-year-old child tearing open a Christmas box, a Christmas present, ripping it apart, shredding it apart. That's how we are to be pursuing and seeking God. But too often, we have a casual relationship with God. We don't seek God in the manner in which we should be seeking God. Let's go to verse 7 in our scripture text, 2 Chronicles 15:7. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. God is telling us, folks, if we'll pay the price, God says, I will reward you. I will bless you. I will open up the windows of heaven, and I will pour out blessing, wherein there's not room enough to receive it. My God, you're not big enough, you're not great enough, you're not vast enough to receive all of the blessings of the Lord. That's why we're so wretched and miserable and poor and destitute and naked. We're not seeking God. When we seek God, he said, you shall be rewarded. People say, well, I've not gotten anything from God in a long time. Well, you haven't sought God in a long time. You haven't pursued God. You haven't chased God. We need some Holy Ghost God chasers. Remember when we were little kids playing the game catch? Or I should say tag. And you had to run tag somebody and then you said, now you're it. Remember that little game? Maybe some of you are not as old as I am. Maybe some of you remember it, some don't. But I said catch. It was tag. And you tag somebody, say, you're it. And then you take off running as hard as you can run. Because if they tagged you, you end up being it. You were the object. You were the subject. Yeah. What a vast difference. And you would run. And then if you were it, you'd run hard to find another person to tag. My, the simplicity of children's games. But the reality, the magnitude of the reality. He says to Israel here in verse 6, be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak. We got too many weak, anemic Christians. He said, your work shall be rewarded. There are times I'm like any other person. People sometimes think I don't have any problems. They think every day I live is easy street, that I don't have any difficulty. Stuff doesn't break on me. Stuff doesn't tear up. My life is just super, super, super blessed. That's not true. Now, I am spiritually and in the kingdom of God, but I have difficulties too. Things break on me. Things go wrong on me. I fight all the same entities that you fight, like the Department of Motor Vehicles, insurance companies. I fight all the same junk. But I love Jesus. And I'm going to seek him with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my might, because my Bible says, my work shall be rewarded. The next time you start to pray, you ought to confess, God, there is no doubt in my mind, my work shall be rewarded. God's no respecter of persons. Let me share something with you. When you begin to seek God, the reformation, the reform begins to take place. Did you hear what I just said? As you begin to seek God, as you begin to pursue God, the reformation, the reforming again, the correcting, the amending of your heart, of your life, of how you perceive things, the restoration begins. Why does the Spirit of God move? Why does the Spirit of God move? I'm going to ask the question again. Why does the Spirit of God move? The Spirit of God moves so as to move you towards him. Let's go to the Old Testament tabernacle. You had the outer court. You had the holy place, the menorah, the table of showbread. Just before you would go behind the veil, you had the altar of incense. Then behind the veil was the Ark of the Covenant, where the power, the presence, the glory of God would come down. Where did that presence come from? It came from the heavenlies. The glory of God would descend in to the Holy of Holies. God's presence was moving man toward him. Outer court, holy place, Holy of Holies. As that day of atonement was approaching, man began to move towards God because God was beginning to move towards man. God has always moved towards man. When Adam and Eve sinned, the first manhunt was initiated. God said, Adam, where art thou? God went looking for the man. The man ran away from God. But God went looking for the man. Think about what I just said. Man sinned. Man fell. Man ran from God to hide himself. And what did God do? God went after man. Therefore, the purpose of the Spirit of God in moving is for the purpose of moving man towards him. God does not want to be separated from us. But men willingly separate themselves from God because of their sins. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. You see, who's calling for justice in the land? My God, look at the wretchedness, the filth, the debauchery, the debasedness of our government. Department of Justice, FBI, highest leaders in our nation, look at them. Who's calling for justice? Who's pleading for the truth? Oh, no. There are few today that are seeking for God's truth. Isaiah 56 and 1. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice. For my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it. My salvation is near to come. When God begins to move, his purpose is in moving man toward him. Thus he says, when you seek me, you'll find me. If you forsake me, he said, I will forsake you. You ever heard the phrase, this is a God-forsaken place? Jesus even said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was a God-forsaken place that day on the cross. That was a God-forsaken day at the cross. My God, why? Hast thou forsaken me? Why? You see, God's eyes are so pure. He cannot look on iniquity. Jesus, the Lord's Christ, was drenched. He was covered in the sins of men. God turned his head for a moment, the Father. That's why Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 said, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Think of that statement. Think of that statement. For he hath made him to be sin for us. God the Father made Jesus Christ the sin. Yet he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I sense the presence of the Lord today. God begins to move. He's trying to move man towards himself. Let me back up. I want you to get this revelation in my scripture text. I'm going to go back and read the first two verses again. 2 Chronicles 15 and 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if you will seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. What initiated this prophecy? What initiated this word of the Lord? The Spirit of God came upon Azariah. God began to move. What was God doing? God was moving so as to move man towards himself. Let me tell you what Azariah's name means. The one whom Jehovah grants aid, assistance. Azariah's name simply meant helper, the Parakletos in the New Testament, the Holy Ghost that comes to give aid and comfort and assistance and guidance and direction. God is trying to move this nation towards Him, and He initiates this renewing of the relationship. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. The Spirit of God is trying to move in our nation, in our churches, in a very unusual way. But here's the problem. We've got too much resistance. You hear that term all the time in politics, resistance. What's going on? They're resisting something that's trying to come forth. They're fighting a movement. This nation is fighting a move of God. But I got news for you. God is breaking the nation down. God is going to break down every denomination, every organization, every institution. You know why? Because God is going to show the world, I'm still God. I'm in control of absolutely everything. Every time you take a breath, it's called an involuntary action. That's God's blessing in your life. Every time you take a breath, that is an involuntary action. That is a blessing of God in your life. Why do we fast? Why do we pray to move God? I don't fast because I don't have anything better to do. I don't tear down my body because I don't have anything better to do. The pain, the unsettled stomach, the weakness in the body. Why do I do that so much? I want God's touch. I want God's blessing. Listen, no man has but one life to live. You, every one of you listening to me today, you don't have but one life to live. Regretfully, most of us have already lived most of our life. I'll be 63 this month. The 21st of this month, I'll be 63 years old. 2 years of legitimate retirement. I want to look back over the last 40 years. I was fasting in my last secular job. I fasted 7 days. Why? I just knew something innate way down in my spirit said, you need a closer walk with God. I'd never read a book on fasting. Nobody had ever told me what fasting was. I didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue. But I knew one thing. It was of significance. It was of significance. When men begin to seek God, God significantly moves on men. It's like the granddad and the grandson that were in church one morning. And the offering plate came by. And the granddad reached in his pocket and he put a quarter in the offering plate. Pastor preached that morning and the granddad and the grandson, they left the church service and they got in their car and they were going home. And the granddad said to the grandson, you know, I didn't get much out of that service this morning. The little grandson looked over at his granddad and said, yeah, and you didn't put much in it either. You get out of God what you put. Whatever you invest in God, that's your return. Galatians 6 and 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You get out of God what you put into God. God is always opening something up to me. Why? Because I chase him. I seek him. I'm constantly in the Word of God. And yet I know nothing about the Word of God, hardly. But it's not because I'm not hungry. It's not because I'm not thirsty. It's not because I'm not pursuing God. I am. That's why God moves. You see, no man has a claim like a gold mine, a claim, a stake on God. Nobody has a stake on God. You can have as much of God as you want, or you can have as little as you want. It's up to you. It's up to you. There's no spigot. There's no faucet. There's no valve to turn on and off. Some of y'all, you want is a little dabble, do you? I want to be under the spout where the glory's coming out. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to bask in the presence of the Holy Ghost. As I said yesterday, where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Liberty, liberty, liberty. People don't have liberty because the Spirit of God is not there. You don't know how greatly God could move and would move if we would give place to the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't want to raise my hands because I might embarrass myself. I don't want to embarrass myself. I'm not going to let a tear run out of my eye. It might mess up my eyeliner. It might mess up my makeup. I hope you guys ain't wearing makeup. Hey, you mean to tell me you'd rather resist the Holy Ghost than let the Spirit of God flood you and flood you and flood you and flood you and wash you and wash you and bathe you? You'd rather forsake that? We are living in a day, folks. The Spirit of God is stirring. The Spirit of God is moving so as to move you and I towards Him. God's not trying to run away from you. God's coming to you, just like I said with Adam. He went to Adam. Did you know God and Adam were going in the same direction? God was, let's say the God is north and Adam was south. God was headed south and so was Adam going further south. We all need to turn and go north with God. Now, that's just an element of conjecture. But Adam was running away from God. God was running to Adam. Too many people today are not really hungry and seeking God for reformation. Reformation will take place one at a time. You become reformed as you begin to seek God. Then another becomes reformed. And then another, and another, and another, and another. And then when the Reformation starts taking place like that, there'll be a what we call a move of God corporately, and everybody, well, I shouldn't say everybody, but many people are beginning to turn toward God, and it's called a movement now. It's a movement. Why? Because people are coming to the same understanding, the same place, the same knowledge of God, and they come together in unity. Isn't it amazing how we have one Bible, fundamentally, one Bible, and we have all of these stupid interpretations, all these stupid false doctrines, how we're divided over this, we're divided over that. Listen, The Word of God is pure. The Word of God is holy. The Word of God is one truth. And yet everyone out here is running around saying, I'm the only one that's got the truth. You got people who claim to be a Protestant one day and they're acting like a Catholic the other day. Catholicism is wrong. I know that made some of you mad, but Catholicism is wrong. Mary has nothing to do with Jesus Christ and redemption other than she brought him into the world. She's not your Savior. She's not your co-redemptor. You don't pray to her. She too needed a Savior, and it was her Son. And anybody that tells you she's a type of the Ark of the Covenant, what kind of nonsense is that? What is that? You don't venerate people, human beings, on the level of God. If she was so great, so godly in that context, why did she die and why is she still dead? Because she's not God. She's not God. She's just a woman. That's called idolatry. Idolatry. Mary's been made an idol. Mary is no greater than you or I. Do you hear me? Mary is no greater than you or I. Anyone that espouses Catholicism is doctrinally unpure or impure, however you want to deem it. Let me give you a verse of Scripture. Matthew 11:11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Among them that are born of women, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater, nobody that's ever been born was greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. We'll just insert Mary there. He that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than Mary. You don't idolize men or women. It's not about seeking prophets and prophetesses and apostles. It's about seeking God. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. We seek God, him only, not the Virgin Mary. Do you really understand why God did that, use that method? God made his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Why? I said likeness. He wasn't sinful flesh, in the likeness. So he could die? I had a lady attack me profusely while I was in Branson last year. I mean, just attack me brutally. Because I quoted Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He had to be made lower than angels so he could die a natural death. But he did what no other man's ever done. He died and he rose again. And he lives forevermore. My parents are dead. My grandparents are dead. My great-grandparents are dead. Christians die with a hope, a blessed hope, that Jesus Christ will return, will resurrect their dead bodies, praise God. Go back and read the entire 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I taught on that some time ago, if you remember, on the resurrection. You need to go back and listen to that again. If that don't light a fire in your bosom, if that don't light a fire in your soul, you've got too much wet wood in your life. We seek God. We seek God. Why would somebody try to seek God through another person? This is a personal relationship. And I know the rhetoric. Oh, it's believed that a mother can get special favors from her son. She's dead. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? Did you hear that verse? First Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's your go-between. Nobody else. Now, there's no doubt about it. Mary was exceedingly favored. And you've heard me teach this. Thou art blessed. The Greek word is eulogia. We have the English word eulogize. We use it to eulogize the word, the eulogy of a decedent. But what it means in relationship to God and Mary was this. Mary, this is what Gabriel was saying to Mary. I'm going to give you the synopsis of what Gabriel said to Mary. Mary, you are super, super highly favored among women. You are exceedingly blessed of God. And God is going to bring you, Mary, into a divine relationship with him, wherein, Mary, you have nothing to do with it whatsoever. The angels marvel. The angels are amazed at some of the things that God does. They love to look in on this stuff. They enjoy being a part of God giving them commandment to go do this with mankind because they don't understand it. Because they're immortal. You're mortal. I'm mortal. They're immortal. They see these things. Peter said they desired to look in on these things. They're like, man, this is awesome. Here are these creatures down here are mortal creatures. And God, in his sovereignty, brings them into a relationship with him wherein they don't have anything to do with it. They are brought into this by God's sovereignty. And the angels are like, this is off the charts. See, this is off the charts. They look at the plan of salvation and it's like this is unfathomable. What God is doing. You see, God is going to move like you and I have never seen before. And many will not understand this moving of God. Many will not get it. Many will not get this move of God because if you're not living and walking in the place where you ought to be, you'll miss what God is doing. I don't want to ever miss what God is doing. Do you hear me? I don't ever want to miss what God is doing. God's going to do some great things here, he's moving right now. God is moving right now in a way that I would have never imagined. I would have never, ever imagined. God is moving. And he's going to continue to move. I said, God is going to continue to move. This is why, as I said, we keep fasting, we keep praying, we keep believing God. Because your work and labor of love is never going to be in vain. Never. Don't let the devil discourage you today. I'm not going to lie. I was discouraged about 2 weeks ago. I just like, God, you know, I want to see you move. I want to see you move. I want to see the hand of God. And we all question in times of quietness and solace. I've been sitting there trying to memorize, get that verse in my head. 1 Peter 1:12. unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. That's the verse. Took me a while to get it back, but I got it. God is going to move so magnificently and magnanimously, the angels are going to say, look at this. Look at what God, Jesus Christ, is doing with these humans. How he's interacting with them. I believe Gabriel was totally astonished when he came to give the message to Mary. Woman, you have no idea how blessed you are. God is going to use you. Mary was nothing but a vessel. I am nothing but a vessel. You are nothing but a vessel. A vessel for the Master's use. And yet people will turn around and glorify Mary. God bless her. But she's not anything remotely to my Christ. Your Christ, your Savior, your Lord, your Redeemer. Folks, I may pick this back up next week. I won't promise. This is kind of good. This is kind of sweet. I love when the Spirit of God begins to open up the deep things of God and lets us see things with Him. Yeah. He allows us to see things. Aren't you glad you're saved? As we began this program today, I was talking about, I pray your heart, you won't take nothing for your journey. You've come too far. You're determined. No matter how much adversity, no matter how much the devil tries to beat you and to discourage you and hinder you and all the stupid stuff he does to us. Satan is going to be put under our feet. Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. That verse was for somebody. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. You watch it. You're going to see God move. And you're going to see God bruise the devil under your feet. Nope. Not going to be Mary, not going to be Pastor Langford, not going to be anybody. It's going to be God who bruises the devil's head under your feet. That's where the devil belongs, folks, under our feet. And when we seek him, he will be found of us when we seek him with our whole heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 15. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire, or their whole heart. And he was found of them. Is God lost? Nope. Is God hiding? Nope. Are you hungry? That's the question. That's the question. I've seen little ladies. We were with Tommy Duncan and his wife a year or so ago, and his wife might weigh 100 pounds. She said, "I'm hungry as a bear." Well, you might be hungry as a bear, but you're sure not big as a bear. See, get hungry for God. Are you hungry? I said, "Are you hungry?" God said, when you get hungry for me, don't you worry, you'll find me. And as I said, God's not playing hide and go seek. He's not trying to run, hide from you. He's here to help you. Aren't you glad he's a big God? And he's bigger than all of your problems. I said God is bigger than all of your problems. Way far greater, larger. Get hungry as a bear for God. Tear in to the deep things of God. Quit being satisfied with a little dabble, do you? Amen. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your financial support for the ministry. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for fasting with us. You keep watching God. You keep watching God. God's going to move. How do I know? In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. That means me and you. He's going to pour out of His Spirit on you and I. God bless you until this time next week.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.